This is Cat's Podcast, episode number 21. Hello, freedom lovers. Welcome back to a new Freedom Lifestyle edition on my podcast. I'm Kat, I'm your host, and for those of you who are new to my podcast, who haven't yet tuned into the Freedom Lifestyle series, this is where I ask people from different countries and different areas to talk about their freedom and their version of a freedom lifestyle. So that's a life or lifestyle that's rather unconventional and that has freedom at its core. And if you're new to this, you can also check out my introduction episode to the second Freedom Lifestyle series, which is episode number 18. There you get a little bit of a background behind the scenes and the connection to my personal story, why I do it. And one of the reasons really is to show that there are so many ways to live out there and that we're not confined to a certain way of life and that we can really create the life that we want. And in this episode today, I'm talking to Nils Wagner. He's a guy from Germany, from Berlin, and I'm actually super happy to talk to him because he's a friend of friends. And when I heard about him, I thought, oh, that sounds pretty amazing, because he is the owner and founder, respectively co-founder, of two Berlin-based companies, Paper Cuts and Badaga, that create sustainable fashion and accessories. And I know, or I knew, that he's also really living his freedom by traveling a lot and surfing and really making the most of life. And I always wondered, how do you do that? How do you run a company or two companies and still keep your freedom? And he's here to talk about that today. And he's also one of the young entrepreneurs trailblazing really a new sustainable made in Germany or made in Europe. So he's producing regionally and really setting an example against the omnipresent made in China. And I think, looking at all what's going on in the world at the moment, it's actually a perfect timing to dive deeper into this specific subject. And this conversation today is really a two-parter. So we'll start talking about Nils' freedom lifestyle and what led him to walk a different path, and how he combines work and surf, and how he manages to keep his freedom running two companies. And we're also talking about how his perception of freedom changed during lockdown and over the past months, and how we can make the most of these times. You should definitely tune in if you're in need of a dose of positive mindset and just do attitude. And in the second part of the conversation, we'll dive deeper into sustainable production and consumption. And you'll get to see his view on the questions, can we do everything right? And how can we consume more mindfully, from an entrepreneurial and a personal perspective? And Nils also walks us through his entrepreneurial experiences in the fashion world, and in specific through his scouting process for new, sustainable and vegan materials, as well as through the evolution process of the new Paper Cuts sneakers. So stay tuned for this part of the conversation if you're really interested in conscious consuming and want to know more about what to take into consideration when buying a product. And last but not least, I have an exclusive rebate code for my listeners. You get 10% off your whole purchase at Paper Cuts. Use the code CAT10 when buying online at Paper Cuts. Paper Cuts, it's spelled P-A-P-R and then cuts.de. So there's no E as in paper. It's simply paprcuts.de. And use the code CAT10. K-A-T-1-O. This code is valid until September 15th of this year. And you can find the online shop and the code in the show notes below or on the episode page. And now, enjoy this refreshing, motivating, and overall positive conversation. It's one that shows that we have the power and the choice to create a new reality, be it in our personal life or on a business level.
All right, welcome to my podcast, Niels. You're in Portugal at the moment, and I think that's very fitting, talking about living a freedom lifestyle. And actually, for you, it's a business trip, but I guess these trips for you are never purely business, isn't it?
Hi, first of all, really happy to take part in your podcast. I think we've been talking about this for ages now, and finally it's happening. Yes, I'm in Portugal. I'm in Baleal, Peniche. I think quite a lot of people know it. It's about 1 hour north of Lisbon. Usually for me, that happens like 3 or 4 times a year normally to go to Portugal, because we have I have a business, and I have to go to the production sites. We produce sneakers here, and we produce for the other brand that I started last year. We produce surf bikinis and yoga bikinis, and soon there's more things to come. So it's always really, really nice to combine business and a little bit of surf and jumping into the water, eating the really, really good food here. I think I cannot complain.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Honestly, I'm a bit jealous. I want to be in the ocean too.
Yeah, you're welcome to join here. Let's go for it.
Yeah, I might actually do that next time. So before we start really diving into your lifestyle, and tell us a little bit about you, what you do, so the listeners can grasp you better. What do you do, and what are your companies, Papercuts and Badaga? So what are they, and what's the mission behind them?
Let's start maybe quickly as a wrap up. I studied communication management. That means marketing and advertising, and worked in advertising agencies. I think that's how long is that ago? 13, 14 years ago. It was actually right before Facebook popped up and all these things. It was a little bit already, but it was not integrated in advertising. So I was really a non-online marketing person, only with very slight online projects. And then I stopped working in advertising, because back then also this healthy lifestyle was not integrated into advertising agencies. A few of my friends who are still working in advertising or PR in these kind of agencies, they tell me that they have done a huge change. Back then I worked unbelievable amounts of hours, also night shifts. I remember that sometimes I would sit all night drinking 3 or 4 energy drinks or Coca-Cola or whatever. And the next morning I still had to work. So I was just like continuing work. And that made me think of how I want to live my life. And I was like, do I really want to be like waking up suddenly when I'm 40 and be still in this kind of advertising agency thing, and still like my whole life has just passed by, and I don't know what's been happening the last 10, 12, 15 years. So for me, it was very clear. I will quit. So I started with a friend. I started a longboard company, and we produced longboards made in Berlin, like street longboards. And we actually made them out of wood in my second room I had back then in my shared flat. I also did an olive oil company with friends. So we created a really nice brand and packaging, and went down to Greece and got the premium olive oil there. and sold it to, that was super interesting. Because we were really dealing with interesting hotels, interesting food companies. That was pretty good. In the end, it was not that good anymore because we actually split in not very happy mindsets. I mean, that's how it goes sometimes with when you start a business together. What can you do?
So can I just go back a few sentences? So when you said, okay, the work at the agency, that was really too much for me. And it sounds very familiar. It's basically the same story. And so would you say that was the crucial point in your life where you said, okay, that's it, I gotta live differently, or were there other factors playing into as well?
I think that was actually the crucial point. I was so wasted. I was so tired. I was so sad, and at the same time so happy, because I really liked the agency life. I liked the friends I had in the agency, and I liked the also the parties that we have had back then and everything. But it made me so bad, and I remember I was having dinner with my family back then when I was visiting them. It was around Christmas, and I told them I will quit. I will not go forward with this. It's breaking me apart. It's really making me crazy, and I really feel not good. My energy is out just because of that. And they were like, no, you cannot leave your job. A job is so important to have. I mean, we all know these kind of things our parents tell us and ask us.
Oh, yes.
that was pretty hard. And I was, I was really sad to tell them, because, of course, they really do care about me, and they were really scared. What will our son do if he doesn't have a proper job? And I think that was the best thing to actually do, because then after that, all these interesting stories with starting businesses and starting things happened, and they were not less tiring and not less eating up my energy, actually more. And I also had some years with night shifts and feeling bad every morning because I was thinking about paying bills and all these things. But if you do it for yourself, the tolerance level is much different.
Yeah, and I guess you have a different inner drive. It's probably, I don't know, do you feel it's connected more to your purpose, to what you really meant to live?
Definitely. It shifted also a lot, because I mean, my mindset shifts, and I grew up, or at least I hope I grew up a little bit in this time. But yeah, for sure, it really, I think my personality reflects in the brands, and also in the philosophy of the brands that came up along the way.
So what happened after the olive oil adventure?
The olive oil adventure. Parallel to that, I was doing a marketing job for as a freelance in Berlin. I started to help a beer brand get a foot into the market. It's a beer brand from Stuttgart, and a few of my friends back then were working for them already, and they were like, hey, we want to go to Berlin, do you want to help us? And I was like, yeah, why not? Having an unlimited supply of beer coming to Berlin, I mean, being in the middle or end of 20, what's better than that? I mean, just I can still remember the first day when I was actually renting a little storage place out in the east of Berlin, and when the first truckload of 12 pallets of beer, and each pallet has I think 48 crates on it, so around about, wow, 600 crates of beer, when that arrived, I was like, oh my fucking god, this is paradise. I really made it. That was just fantastic, unbelievable. And since then, I was invited to a lot of parties, and I was very, very famous in my circle of friends. And also, my circle of friends grew a lot, like exponentially, from that time onwards, actually. And it was pretty interesting to meet. I met a lot of people from bars and clubs. Also, I met quite a few people from other marketing backgrounds. So I was not only in the club and bar scene, but also more marketing driven. And I was free to do whatever I wanted. So I could just do some really cool collaborations with nice projects. And I saw so many other things popping up in that time. I was going around a lot, and at that time, I mean, I was actually sitting at home, being a little bit hungover on a Sunday from another party, and I was like, my leather wallet is really, really big and fat, and all the time when I sit on it, it really is it's hurting a lot. So I was taking a newspaper and a scissor and some. I did some cuttings there and some foldings, and it's like, yeah, this is cool. I can do a party wallet only made of paper. It lasted 3 days. Then it was gone, obviously, because it really didn't work out. But the idea was born, and then I went to some printing agencies, talked to them if they have a much better kind of paper or fabric, and they recommended some stuff to me, and we did the first tryouts, and out came, that was 10 years ago, a brand that I still have and actually own completely, because it's bootstrapped from them. It's called Paper Cuts, and we are doing wallets and watches, wash bags, tobacco pouches, hip bags, and since last year also sneakers. Backpacks will come out soon. Just a quick wrap up about everything. That actually came out of a hangover, stupid idea.
Wow, yeah. That's pretty impressive. And yeah, also seeing your, like, the action you took, because I know a lot of the time we're sitting on ideas and we're procrastinating about them, but it was basically, there was the idea and then you went into implementation, and that's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I think I'm more a doer than a thinker. I have a friend, he's kind of a thinker guy. So we were a couple of years back in Brazil, and we wanted to go to a beach to surf, and it was a really, really long walk. And then we passed by another beach and someone told us, like, oh, there's turtles in the water. I just came out. There's a lot of turtles. You can swim with turtles. And I was like, wow, this is super cool. And my friend was like, yeah, this is super cool. But I think, did we want to go to the surf beach to try it out? And I was like already pulling out my clothes and running into the water. Like, yeah, we can do that later. Just want to do it for half an hour, blah, blah. And then I was in the water. And this whole thing of, like, I rather do things, try it out. Never try, never know. Things like this. I think this is my kind of mindset. And I sometimes overrush into things. But yeah, also maybe it's better to overrush than to think for weeks and weeks and months. Mm-hmm. and then not do it anyways.
Yeah, I could really use a piece of more doing and not overthinking, because especially lately or in the past couple of years, I feel I'm so in my head. So that's actually so nice to hear and to have this antidote to a personality like I am, or to how I think. So that's good to see.
Yeah, I would actually, if I can give a little recommendation to all the people out there, just go for it. It's really worth trying out things than not. If you burn for something, even if you just burn for it for a couple of weeks, but then you have burned for it. It's better than not trying to how do you say that, like kindle the spark or somehow like this.
Yeah, so true. And what did I just want to say? When you said, okay, do it, try it out. And I think a lot of the time, clarity comes from action. So it's only when you actually do the things and implement stuff that you see, oh, does it work? Doesn't it work? How do people respond? And I'm sure we're going to talk about that later again. That's where we talk a bit more about processes and in combination with sustainability and conscious choices and how we consume and how we live.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was the birth of Paper Cuts.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you're producing mainly in Germany. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. That was my idea from the beginning. Actually the first couple of years, we had the claim made in Berlin, not in Xinjiang. I was always saying I'm a little bit racist. Sorry for that. But it was actually three Chinese signs, and they said Guangdong province. And Guangdong province is the area. It's like 40 million people, where most of all the things are. Are fabricated nowadays. It's a highly developed.
When you see made in China on something, it's from there.
Most of the time, I mean, now there's more and more other areas developing also, but this is still huge. It's one of the biggest trade fairs. I also visited, I think, like 2 or 3 years ago to have a look at it too. I was kind of passing through there, so I was like, oh, yeah, I really have to see it, and it's unbelievable. So this area is just massive, and everything, or a lot of everything that you can buy nowadays is coming from there. So my idea was always to not produce there, because I did some calculations, and I think I'm quite okay with numbers. So I was like, yeah, we can produce it here in Germany. So I mean, everything is possible. If Elon Musk can build rockets that can land again and are not throw away rockets. And I think you just have to think about how you want to put your words together and what you want to achieve. And then just try to go most probably the unbeaten track, because that brings you to the solution, like the tracks where most of the people are walking. That's the easy way, but that's always the way where things actually are already. If you need to develop some other things, it brings you to faraway spots and to other things no one or not a lot of people know. And that was actually also the thing in Germany back then. No one or not a lot of people wanted to produce things in Germany. And also the people back then, they told me production is that's your bottleneck. You have to go to China. You have to go to Asia to produce there. And especially with like startup guys that I talked to back then, I was like, no, we'll do it here. And we did it, again, as I said, for 10 years. And I think 5-6 years ago, it really became more and more popular to pay more attention to made in Germany, made in Berlin, made in Europe things. No one ever paid attention to that. And now we have this huge history of producing only in Germany. And that gives us a pretty big uplift, and also a very, very strong fan base, because we truly believe in these ethics long before it was trendy, and long before it was greenwashing things, and long before it was hip to do that. I think it's always good to forecast into the future and really see like what do we really need to achieve, and how will the world evolve, and how can it bring us there already to be further ahead than others.
So more thinking in images, how we want to see the world in a certain time from now, and not thinking, oh, okay, how is the world, and that it's probably already creating this limited mindset. And
I think it's really good to forecast how you want to see things and how you want to have things, set you a goal of how you want to do it, and then just start walking and you'll get there.
That sounds so good. And I think it's such an empowering view, and it can really be a super positive push and motivation for a lot of people out there listening now. Because you can apply it to basically any area in your life or work life.
Totally. You don't even have to be self-employed or whatever. You can be employed. I mean, I have like Papercut has around 40 employees or 35 at the moment. I would be unbelievably happy if they would. They are really proactive already, but they could be much more proactive. And I think it will do good to people, and it will do good to yourself also. So this thing, because I think life can get really boring. And of course you can go on a 9-to-5 job and then go home again, but then nine to five is really wasted. it's a waste of time if you're not happy, and you can be okay and happy, but if you can be like really creative in your job, really like be outgoing, then this just brings another dimension in your life. You earn money with things you like, and with ideas you like, and
Totally. I love it what you're saying, because I think it's exactly that way of thinking that we need right now, empowering ourselves and becoming more self-reliant in whatever situation we're in. And if it's your 9-to-5, maybe you can get more proactive, or you can do things in a way that uplift yourself and that also make you stronger, I guess, and be more in your own power. So
totally. I think proactiveness and also solution-based work is for me that's the key. I always try to preach everyone around me, don't blame anyone or anything. There's always things going wrong. Just take it as it is and give me the solution. It's only try to think in solutions. That that's actually much more positive mindset that that brings that your head creates, because like blaming things and people is always, it's so destructive.
And it also brings you into this victim role, like, yeah. Oh, it happened to me, I can't do anything against it. And but when you switch it or turn it around, it's like, okay, so that's the situation, that's the part of the reality I'm dealing with now, I have to deal with, and what can I do to make it better? And it's so interesting to talk about it, because I really do hope that we're waking up, especially now with this pandemic going on, having these weird times, but also having these strong energies that really can give us the tailwind that's needed to push us forward and to go more into a different direction. And I think for too long we've lived in this overall mindset, and in a lot of, maybe in even all of the areas in our lives, that we can't do anything. There's always someone else, an expert, or so we have to turn to, for example, if we have a health problem, or we go to a doctor and we take it for granted what he's saying, but maybe there's a combination. We can go to a doctor and we can also listen to ourselves and feel what's going on. And so, yeah, I love that you're bringing that up, because this is all feeding into this, the other topic we're talking about today, creating a new reality.
Absolutely. I think you're 100% right. And when you say, like, you don't want to be the victim. No, you don't want to be the victim. You want to be the hero. I think everyone wants to be a hero, even if they say they don't want to be a hero. But when you actually are a hero, it feels so much nicer. Even if you don't dare to be one. And even if you don't want to be on a big stage and be a hero. But positivity, I mean, come on. Positivity is so much better than the negative thoughts and negative vibes.
Yeah, definitely. Quickly, before we move on, tell us a little bit about your other company, Badaga, so people know what you're doing there.
Yeah. Badaga, that's a brand I started. We brought it live last year. A year ago. It's surf and yoga wear, mostly for women at the moment, but we will launch for men probably next year. It's bikinis, leggings, things like this, more accessories to come, like yoga mats and more equipment around it also. The story goes back like 2.5 years already, when I was traveling with my girlfriend, and we were in Nicaragua, and we really wanted to buy some good surf bikini for her, and we couldn't find one. And then we were sitting together and thinking, and like, it could be good to start a brand, because she was finishing her job back then, and I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm traveling a lot, so if you actually want to continue being with me and travel with me, you should start your own company
I love that.
And be able to travel with me, because like a 9-to-5 job with 24 days of holiday, that's not enough. I'm I'm 12 or 16 weeks in holidays, working holidays. But that was my motivation to her. A little spoiler: we are not together anymore, but we still do.
But you're laughing. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we're still working together, and of course, we've had good times. We've had bad times. But we're still really good together. She's also working at Paper Cuts, so we are very, very close together. And I really like her for her ideas and for her mindset. Although we clash together sometimes, but that's I think that's just normal for people when you know each other for such a long time. Yeah, and it's such a cool thing because we both were so excited about this sustainable approach of starting a swimwear brand. Because if you look at all the big chains where you normally buy your clothes, everything is made in Bangladesh, whatever. Like, I don't want to blame these countries, but I actually would like to blame these companies a little bit, because that's not a sustainable thing at all to let people produce in factories that actually sometimes even break down or burn to the ground. And I mean, we know this Bangladesh thing, which was such a big tragedy. So we really want to like make a change to the world, and we believe that it's really, really important. So our products are made of partly recycled fish net and partly recycled plastic bottles.
So you're fishing at the bottles, also stuff you fish out of the ocean.
The fish net, yes. The bottles come from landfills, like from mm-hmm. garbage, and it's cleaned and made new and recycled or upcycled, and that's done in Italy, and then it's shipped to Portugal. And here we have a small tailor company. It's like a family business. It's really, really nice. They work with us for 2 years already now, because it took a long time for prototyping. And we're super happy to have them, and we're super happy to have this kind of regional European thing where we don't have too much CO2 emissions by the transport. And we really try to cut it down. Actually, the idea is to move it even further, maybe even do a little bit more in Berlin. But that's still a way to go. I mean, it's not the end solution. I always like to say that things are maybe in between transition, and it's a good idea, but still you can always change, and you can always get better, and you can always improve. So this is what we are thinking of to make it even better.
That sounds pretty amazing. I love it. I love the idea of really consuming more regionally. Mm-hmm. So regionally within Europe, I'm saying now, and it's amazing. And I will put in links to your companies in the show notes so people can have a look, and I can tell all the women out there, the prints from Baraga, they're really beautiful. I don't have my own bikini yet, but they look really, really good.
Maybe we can change that situation when we talk about it later.
So that brings you to Portugal, basically, where we started talking.
Exactly, yes.
How do you manage to run your own business and yet live your freedom? Because you already mentioned, actually having your own business can also be super tiring, and there are phases where you do a lot of over hours and you get not a lot of sleep. So to me, it seems that you have a really good balance of work life and life. Of course, it's not that you can make a clear cut between those, but how do you manage to do that, and how do you keep your feeling of freedom?
I think that was quite a few years ago. That was also one of my goals. When we talk about goals again and visions again, I was pretty sure that I wanted to have a company where I can earn my living, but I didn't see myself in a 60, 70, 80 hours work week. I didn't even see myself in a 40 hours work week. I actually, it took me quite a bit of strength to start with it. But when I did it, it was really, really the best thing. And that's trusting people. So I got people that I trust into the company, people I really like, people I felt very comfortable with, and I could just give tasks. Of course, quite a few times they didn't do the task as good as I would do it, because I'm super dedicated to work. But actually, even if it's 20% less, that's what I think to myself. It's still better than when I'm doing it, because I have 35 people employed in the company. It's how could I do all these jobs? So you need people that you can give tasks to, and yeah, that's the basic goal. Have good people. And also always when I do interviews with them, I tell them, like, hey, you have to be independent, you have to be a solution finding person, because I will not be there every day standing at your desk and telling you how things are done. I'm always reachable, but I will be on holidays or on working holidays or whatever. I mean, I don't call it holidays, I actually call it more like go travel and surf and
yeah, me too.
Work besides that. Yeah, so I mean, holidays really sounds like a resort thing where you go for 2 or 3 weeks, you book everything included with your family and 2 children and all these things. Oh, this is nothing for me. I rather hang out in deserted beaches. I'm happy to be all alone there. The only thing I need is my surfboard, waves, and internet. So I work from there quite a lot. Yeah. So that's my long story short. That's my idea of work. Trust people, find good people, and go and live your lifestyle as you wanna have it.
Hmm. Yeah. That's interesting. And I think it's really great advice for someone in a similar situation, be it a person who's right in the middle of building something up, or a solopreneur who's thinking about maybe delegating a few of his or outsourcing a few of the tasks she or he's dealing with. And when you were saying that, I could literally see how you're, by outsourcing or by trusting your people doing their scope of work, you're creating this freedom, literally, because you're exactly expanding your space in and time. So
totally. And also this, I mean, you know what, this thing of trusting the people and not being there all the time, it really helped us in this Corona times right now to go from one day to the other into home office and be more more independent. I mean, it caused quite a few problems also. In the end, it was really, really good, because I wasn't there all the time. I'm reachable all the time, so you can message me and you can call me day and night. And if I don't answer, I call back or I message back. That's the deal that we have. So it really made this adaptation to the change quite smooth.
Hmm. I can totally imagine that was a huge advantage compared to other companies. Corona is the right buzzword, actually. Looking at those past months, has your perception of freedom changed, especially during lockdown? Because looking at it from the outside, or just having a glance at it, you would think, oh, freedom and lockdown. This is actually the contrary. So how did it feel for you?
In the beginning, it felt really, really strange. I actually had my year planned to go to quite a few nice places. That was really harsh for me. But on the other hand, I was in Indonesia 6 weeks in the beginning of this year, and that was calming me down a lot, and it really changed a lot inside of me. I was on really deserted islands and spots where I could just be myself, not talk too much to people, and just surf and work. And that energy I gained there, it really took me all the way through Corona with a really, really good attitude, because I knew I can be alone with myself. I actually don't need to be around people all the time. And I really liked to be not to be alone, because I had a few friends that I was talking to and also meeting. I had like my very, very close friends, like two or three of them. And that was the circle of friends I had in that time. And that's freedom. That's so nice to have only two or three people, and you can trust your life with them, and you can do whatever is on your mind with them. And I had so much time. I didn't miss the parties. I didn't miss clubbing. I didn't miss going on some strange occasions where you have to shake some hands and all these things. That was actually a relief to me. So I could really focus on work, focus on nature, focus on sports, focus on developing the business and developing the company with my people. Still, we were also brought down quite a bit by this Corona, because a lot of things I couldn't forecast. But that was actually my kind of freedom that I took out, because I couldn't go surf somewhere. I just made my peace with me and the time, and it really felt good. Actually, yesterday I sent a voice message to one of my friends, and I was like, dude, I really miss the Corona times. I really, really, really do miss it. It was so nice and calm. You didn't have to, there was not 100 things you could do, because there just wasn't. And that was the focus. You could just be, mm-hmm. be with yourself and your close friends. And now I'm here in Portugal, and things have been filling up. There's so many people around here. Talking to too many people and going to bars. I mean, that's nice, of course, but sometimes I think it's a waste of time, because I rather focus on myself, reading and chilling with me, myself, and I. That's also pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I can very much relate to that. We've talked about it before, but it's nice to hear. And I think it's also so interesting to hear, especially for those people out there, because you're someone who's been traveling a lot over the past years, and that was part of your freedom. But now you're saying, yeah, but it can also be different and still feel free. And I think that is very beautiful. And it's so interesting to see, you said narrowing down, and that actually in that, or in these times, that was what brought you more freedom. So it's not more is more, but less is more in that case. And that's really interesting how narrowing down can actually expand our freedom.
Exactly, because you have focus on a few things, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and the focus thing was also something that for example, hit me hard when I came home from New Zealand. So I got back from New Zealand with one of these repatriation flights by the German government. And then I was sitting there in my hometown in a house all to myself. And I was like, wow, actually this space feels really good and it feels so right. And I didn't expect it in that intensity. It was just there. And I was like, wow, this is good. And I finally have the time to focus on just a few things, just a couple and not 10. And that was so freeing.
So what did you do then? What was your focus?
So I focused on my podcast. And I focused on diving deeper into yoga. Mm-hmm. And I think I also wrote a lot. I mean, I'm constantly writing, but that's the thing I usually do in the morning. It's part of my morning routine. But at that point, I was writing a lot and integrating new bits into my morning routine and trying out things in yoga and diving deeper. So that's basically what I did.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Nothing super special, super amazing. But really only focusing on yourself and what you really, really like and what you want to do and self-optimize, because that was one of these buzzwords back then, yeah.
True, yeah. Self-develop, self-optimize, yeah. So I'm just looking at my questions here.
Yes, what did I tell you?
Is there one thing or one tip you can really give people who want to create more freedom in their lives? What would be your key tip or motivational line?
I think just jump into the water where the turtles are and don't think about it.
I love it.
That's it. I think that says everything.
Yeah, I think so too. And is there someone or something that inspired you lately?
There's a lot of people who inspired me. I mean, all of my friends, they did inspire me a lot over the years. But actually, there's one person new in my life. I met him about a year ago surfing here in Portugal. He's a guy from Argentina. And at the beginning, I was like, I was in a hostel again, and I didn't really talk that much because I was focusing on work and surf. And he was actually starting to talk to me and offering me a glass of wine. And so I sat down with him. His name is Damian. I didn't really want to talk that much. And then I found out, like, he was so positive and he was so fascinating. He always said, like, we talked for 2 hours. The word fascinating, I think he said that like 20 times, and exactly that that was the conversation. It was fascinating and positive, and I was so blown away by his positivity that I think we spent a whole week together surfing and chilling, and that just made my reception of how I see the my environment so beautiful. And since mm-hmm. then I'm in really close contact with him. We talk a lot on WhatsApp, and I mean, normally I don't let new people into my life that easily, but he's again so positive, and it really changed my mind. And I think that was the ground step for having a very, very positive alone time in Indonesia, and that actually resulted in a very, very positive time in Corona. So it actually changed my perception, and actually changed my my kind of life style and how I feel and see some things. So I really want to do a big shout out to Damian and say thank you, dude. That was really, really good.
Wow, that is amazing. That's really amazing.
Yeah, you know, like when there's a person who's just uplifting all the time and who's just positive and only seeing the positive things, not complaining, not like we German potatoes, like complaining about a lot of things, complaining about the weather, complaining about whatever else. It's so nice and I'm like this also sometimes, and I really have to pull myself together, and that really changed
when our German nature comes through every now and then.
Yeah, and let's not change it, but let's just try to remember there's so much more than complaining in life.
That is pretty fascinating how someone can influence you in a good way.
Yeah.
And that intensely, that because it sounds really like a profound shift that you had for your mindset and for your perception of the world.
Yeah, it really made a lot to me. Also, my team, when I came back from Indonesia, they were like, "What has happened to you? You are so different. You are so positive." And I think that's what happened there.
Wow. That's actually the perfect bridge for kind of our second topic, subtopic of this conversation. It could be subtitled Creating a New Reality. We're going to talk about sustainable living and consuming. So looking at these times right now, what do you think? What has to change so we can really create a better and a more sustainable future, respecting our planet more?
If I would have an answer to this whole big thing, that would be quite nice. I think in general we should be more be more positive towards this change, and really accept it as a big change. I think nothing will be as it was before. I don't know if it's sorry, I'm a little bit distracted. Do you hear the music in the background here?
No.
Okay, I think my neighbors are having a little afternoon party at the moment. I think accepting the change and really thinking in a change, and not only I change, I make the color of the wallet blue instead of dark gray, but really thinking, what do we actually need? Do we need to buy less? Do we need to shift to different things that are more important? For example, we actually had a major shift. We have expertise in online sales, and since our online sales also went down, we thought, what can we do? And we started to offer an agency service to support small businesses who are struggling because they are not really good in online marketing, in performance marketing especially, to really generate more sales. So we're working with two clients now, and really getting things going for them. And I think it's a very, very good help to other people. We give, actually, our hourly rate is ridiculous. I had some problems with my team about that, but I said, I don't really want to make a big profit with it. I just want to like help and create more more options to focus on, and to try another change of a solution. So I think this is really, really good. Think into a lot of different ideas, think into a lot of different things, and just think, change, and pave your way into another future. Maybe don't pave it with stone and things, because that makes nature go away. Maybe you have to take this thing with pave your way to the future back. that's sentences that you learn from your youth, and you hear it over and over again, and then actually one day you find out, damn, this is so stupid. This is so stupid. This is where does it come from? And yeah, it comes from the, I don't know, 70s, 80s, or wherever, when people didn't really think into sustainable things. So please don't pave your way into the future. Do something else. Just find your path and don't break the bushes that you go through. I think that's much better.
I love that. I love that. And that leads directly to the next question. When we were talking the other day, it was actually funny because we came to a point where we were asking ourselves, how shall we do everything right? Yeah. I mean, you know, we're traveling, we're consuming, we're living, and it's all so interconnected, and it's no problem getting goods from the other side of the world or flying to the other side of the world within a day. So how can we do everything right? Or probably we can't. So what can we do to at least make our way through this world more consciously and, you know, without being paralyzed by not making perfect choices?
Yeah, for me that's a really, really big topic, because I'm the owner of two companies who focus on sustainability in which kind of way it is, but it's very sustainable. But we cannot be sustainable in every kind of way. And same for me. My biggest thing that I have a big debt in is flying around the world. I'm very sorry for this, but I really cannot live without this at the moment, or I couldn't live right now. I actually can almost, but I have to go to Portugal also to support the business and do things for it and work on projects here, because I mean, if we would do everything perfectly right, we would need to run around naked in the world and only eat plants and that's it. Not polluting, not using anything, not wearing glasses, not blah, because everything that we consume is in the end bringing a bad thing to the world. Maybe it takes years and years longer, but in the end, what we're doing is we're with every little thing that we're doing, we're destroying the world. So we really need to find an alternative to that, and trying to do as many things as possible to make them good. And I think we have 40,000 followers on Instagram, for example. I'm really happy to try to educate how to live more sustainable and how to live more a more conscious lifestyle. And that really goes into so many different areas. We're trying to look for good fabrics and materials, for example. If you say, we have a few times per week the thing that people are saying, like, hey, I like it that it's blah, let's say vegan or a thing like this.
That's a big thing. I think it's a good example, because a lot of people, they are really looking for vegan products, vegan sneakers, vegan backpacks, whatever it is.
Exactly. And that's super good, because we don't want to exploit animals. We don't want to be bad and harmful to animals, especially when you see these conditions under which they are treated. But only saying vegan, I mean, that's only a very, very small small thing that you have to consider. You have to consider so many things more, because vegan can also mean, it can start with the print of colorings. They can be chemical. Chemical doesn't need to be animal. It can be vegan, but they can destroy the world big time. Mm-hmm. You can go on with also, like, there's good and there's bad vegan leather, for example. For our sneakers that we did last year, and the ones that we are bringing out now again, you can buy like a plastic vegan leather thing, which is just produced with a lot of energy consumption and treated with bad chemicals, for example. That's vegan. You can make your life super easy and do it like this. We've been sourcing a lot of companies and seen a lot of greenwashing there.
What was your first idea for the material that you're going to use on the sneakers? Did you have one specific material in mind, or were you open and just looking around for starters?
I was really scouting around a lot, and the main material that we use at the moment and that we're focusing on, because we really believe in it, it's one from Italy, and they have a lot of solar panels on their factory, so they use regenerative energy that they actually produce by themselves. They have, I think, only 1/8 of water consumption than others, because they have a very good process and they don't use these kind of chemicals that I was just talking about. And they use biomass a lot for putting into these fabrics. So that makes it, of course, more expensive, it's so good to see that there's really, really good things there that you can actually source and that you can do your products with, and that you can build sneakers with, for example.
Already so many things that you have to take into consideration, and that at least I, as a consumer, often don't see. Of course, I look at the materials of the products that I'm buying, but then, yeah, the question is, how was it produced? What kind of energy was used for it? Where does certain parts of it come from, and so on?
Yeah. And that just creates a whole universe of questions if you start looking at these materials. And we have we've been scouting more and more and more, and luckily there's also more and more interesting materials which are coming onto the market. I think I mentioned before, like, this kind of transition thing. It's not the overall solution, of course, but if you also think about, like, the manufacturers, a few years ago, no one asked them for vegan materials which are sustainable, eco-friendly, blah, all these things. So they never had to care about it. They just normally did what they do because they could make money with it. You could still blame them and tell them it's not a very sustainable thinking, but whatever. But that's how the world was a few years ago. And now that it's starting to shift, there's more and more good things popping up. Also, materials made from pineapple, for example, or made from old coffee beans or things like this. It's getting more and more inventions in this field of fabrics, and it's only the start. I think maybe we will be on a point where we will only be wearing nothing anymore and eating veggies and that, or we will still be wearing some stuff, but it's in such a low bad footprint. Maybe it's even in a positive footprint. Then we probably don't know yet. But I think it's really, really cool to see the how the world will go and how we will evolve in this kind of way.
Oh yes, and maybe also not having that much stuff. That's something I've came to realize over the past years. I was like, oh my gosh, I was almost shocked by the amount of clothes I had and still have. All those things I bought back in my agency days, because of course you needed something to wear. And now it's like I'm running around in the same pair of, like the same top and the same pants almost every day. So I really do hope that there's this shift of consuming less, but then maybe investing in something that's made in a more sustainable and ethical way.
Yeah.
Have you felt over the past month, because you said there was definitely a shift over the past 5-6 years happening, where people more inquire where things come from, how the products are made that they consume. Have you felt another push over those past months, or was it more or less stable?
Do you mean a push in asking?
Just during this pandemic, and people are maybe now getting more aware of where we are, what we're doing because of that.
We do get a lot of questions. We did get quite a lot of questions before already, and we do have them now even more. I'm quite happy that we can answer all these questions in a good way, because we've been thinking like this for a long time before. I think it will not stop. It will just it will evolve more and more. And I also think what you're saying is totally right. You don't need to buy that much anymore. It's much better if you buy quality and just buy one pair of sneakers which are really good and which are eco-friendly and sustainable. And if you buy ours, or if you buy another pair, there's also other brands out on the market who are doing a really good job. For me, that's, of course, I would be happy if people buy ours, but I think it's good to support these kind of smaller businesses, or the business with a good idea. I don't see them as a competition. I see more the big brands as a competition, because they do have the possibility, they do have the money to do it. They do have the clever people on board. I think there could just be more. There could be such a bigger push from them into a better world. That's what I'm actually a little bit sad about, to be honest.
Yeah, I understand. So I found it really interesting when you said before, it's when you touched on the progress and you said, well, it doesn't have to be the final solution. It can be just one solution on a way to something better. And is this something that you, or is there a product you could walk us through from your companies where we can see this, literally this evolution?
of course. I think evolution is the thing. Change is the thing. We were never in a perfect situation. If the perfect situation was there already, then how boring would it be? And you can never do it, because there's always things happening. Let's think about the sneaker that we have. We brought out last year a sneaker with the crowdfunding, which was a huge success. I was actually mind blown, because I said, let's do a sneaker. I really want to do sneakers because I like them, but I want to do it sustainably. So we started working on it for a long time, and we brought it out, and it was super, super nice. And people really liked it. As I said, I was actually, it was blowing my mind. And over the past few months, I was redesigning them because I was like, I don't really like the design anymore. Maybe I've just seen it too often. And I don't like the fabrics, how they play together. So I would like to make it more simple and easy. And that always had a big thought in my head. So I try to rework on that and also integrate more and different materials, because only over 1 year there was from a company where we couldn't get a good sustainable material. Actually, there was now on the market, because they evolved also and they brought out a really, really good thing for the inner. It's called the lining. So we had this, and that's why you need this constant change, and you have to always talk to people like, hey, wait, what's happening? Can we improve it? And now we're bringing out, depending on when the podcast will come out, I think it's almost the same time when we have our new sneaker on the market, which is super, super interesting to see how it will go.
Yeah, you definitely have to keep me updated on that one.
Yeah, yeah, sure. also, we are developing actually at the moment more kind of sneakers, like more models to have a broader range, and also to attack the non-sustainable sneakers a bit more with a bigger variety. And of course, they are also all non-animal, but also with a good thought behind it, good material, ecological material, environmental friendly fabrics. So yeah, that's part of the game for us to always evolve.
And also manufactured in Portugal.
Exactly, Portugal. We have one production site. They're really good. They're modern. They pay good wages to their employees, and they have a really good mindset of a sustainable future. Also,
nice. I think that's really what you want. Have this good mindset, as you phrased it. Having that throughout the production chain.
Yes. Yeah, that's very important, and it's quite interesting when you talk to people in the production chain. It is very quickly you can see if they have a good mindset or not, if they know it, or if it's only a greenwashing and a stupid product that they just want to sell you. It's
interesting.
It's good that you can spot these people.
Definitely. It's good that you have developed a radar for that. Yeah. I think that's basically it. I find it always super interesting to talk to people like you, because it's not only talking about the lifestyle, but actually looking into, you know, talking to you as an independent business owner and looking into how things are really made and what's behind it, and that it's not just the label that's in the end that's sticking out. It's not just vegan. It's, you have to ask, how is it made? Why is it vegan? What are the colorings or the dyeing? And I really hope that this conversation kicks people listening to inquire more, to start questioning more, and to think more on their own and really decide if they want to have something or not. And it's not saying that I'm perfect in that regard. I'm far away from it, but I think just thinking about it a bit more helps a lot.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And you don't need to be perfect. No one needs to be perfect. It's if you see yourself in a transition mode, that you go better and better and you learn more and more each day. And if you are in a good mindset about it, even if you do things wrong, I mean, we cannot switch 180 degrees in within one day. The whole economy in the whole world is not made for this. But I think it's just going like every day a step or two into a certain direction, which you can live with it, and which the whole world and our children and the children of our children can also live with it. I think that's the best thing to do.
Definitely, I agree. Just quickly before we finish this conversation, where do you ship to? Because I have a lot of listeners in the US and across the globe as well. Do you ship within Europe or also outside of Europe?
We do ship within Europe for sure. We could also ship outside Europe. I think at the moment we are not doing it, but I will look into it. It will be a bit more expensive, quite a bit, but if you just buy 5 pairs of sneakers for the next 2 or 3 years and don't buy any other sneakers, then the shipping will not be that much expensive, I would say. So it's, it will be okay.
Yeah, that's a good calculation.
I think it will be a bit difficult for the US, but let's see. Maybe just go and scout around on the website and see. I mean, I would really like to go to the US also one day. But then again, it doesn't make sense to ship from Germany. It actually doesn't make sense to produce in Portugal and then ship to the US.
You're so right.
That's one of the reasons we haven't attacked the US market yet.
Yeah.
If I would go, I would maybe go on a transition thing again, try it out, how it works, maybe ship like quite a few pairs of sneakers down there and try it out. But in the meantime, find a producer over there and really go ahead like this, like produce locally and sell locally and try to ship locally, because all the other things doesn't work at all.
Yeah, it makes sense doing it like the way you do. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I was looking at it also for Australia. I think you can do it. I think for the US and Canada, you can for sure do it. As soon as the borders open, I think I'll come over, surf a few waves in California, and try and see if it's possible to go there and enter it.
Cool. Thank you so much for your time, Niels, for sharing all of this. I really, really enjoyed the conversation, going from freedom lifestyle to sustainable living and basically questioning more how we live and how we consume. And it's so this mission of this podcast, all that we talked about. So thank you very much.
Thank you that you had me. I really like the talk, because talking about these topics also like sets some sparkles in my mindset free, and I actually do hope also in some of the listeners to just go and pursue the life that they actually want, or the goal that they actually want. I think that's a good thing, especially in or after Corona times, to really see that life and living is so fragile that it's even more important to do exactly what you want to do.
Beautiful closing words. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you also. That was really nice.
I hope you are inspired and motivated by the conversation as much as I am. That's actually one cool thing about having a podcast and inviting people to talk about their lives. They always inspire me. There's always something I can take out and integrate into my life to make it better. What's one thing that really motivated you? Share your thoughts and feedback with us either via Instagram or email. You can find both in the show notes. So that's in the show notes below or on the episode page. So if you're listening on Spotify, simply hop onto the episode page and there you'll find everything, all the links and the stuff we talk about. And as always, if you like this episode, send it to someone who could really use a radiant spark of positive motivation and freedom. And if you're listening on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, inspire more people to tune in by leaving a 5-star rating and a short review. You simply have to be logged into your account on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, then click the subscribe button and then click on those 5 stars. And right below, you also find the option to write a review. It's all super simple and it really helps me grow my podcast and helps me to bring out more inspiring episodes to you in the future. So thank you very much. Also, is there anyone on your mind who should definitely be on my show talking about her or his freedom lifestyle? If so, send me a message and tell me why they are a perfect fit. All right. I hope you're all well wherever you are. Stay healthy, stay safe, and always keep questioning.